I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're back. Don't I seem excited?
I think you might want to raise it up.
This is season 5.
I'm scared.
Episode 2. Between Two Fires. I'm Adrienne Snow. And to my left, also very excited, Rachel Goodman.
Hey, everybody. I cannot contain my enthusiasm for being here today. So thank you for coming back and watching the show.
Yes. Very enthusiastic to be here. And to her left, we have Lee Broadway. Hello.
Hi, everybody. So glad to be back.
And to her left, also very excited. Everyone's excited. We're super excited. Yes. We're super excited to be here.
We are beyond excited.
Angel Taylor.
Hello. Hey, guys. So good to do this season. So stoked. We have a full panel today.
Yes. And just for today, because I will be gone next week, because I'll be in Scotland.
Oh.
Yeah.
How relevant.
Yeah. Go touch some stones. Go find me a nice Scotsman.
Yes. If we don't see you in a couple
weeks,
you
know what happened.
We'll know what happened.
I am running for my life, terrified. Because I am black. What the hell? Okay, sorry, guys. Let's just go right into it. We're talking season 5, episode 2, Between Two Fires. I know we kind of already did our first thoughts, but let's start off with somebody being tarred and feathered within seconds. Did you all realize that was about to happen? Because I was like, what's this feels? Oh, this is tar and feathering.
So I was a history major. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I thought they were headed with it. Mm-hmm. I did not expect Murtaugh to be on the other end of that.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I was like, where did he come from? He just always pops up out of nowhere. That's just his thing.
Just hiding in the woods, waiting for his lady to come say hello. And then
his lady to come say hello.
Yeah. His lady.
Jocasta. Jocasta. Who's definitely marrying Duncan.
She will be escorted, if anything.
I mean, that's what happens, you know? Like, that's the sign of the times. Like, you got your man on the side in his weird cabin, and then you have the guy you marry. I don't know. What did you think of the opening shot?
Pretty shocking.
Yeah.
I expected someone to go up in flames any minute. Yes, it was pretty scary. Mm-hmm. The idea that someone, I mean, that's what they did back then. Mm-hmm. You know, they tarred and they feathered and they set them on fire, and it's frightening. Mm-hmm. Didn't really know if that was going to happen, you know, but it seemed that it was the norm back in that day.
And they didn't make it look very painful. I was like, I'm sure that's just molasses. My acting brain is like trying to justify it. But yeah, it did look incredibly, I mean, you hear about being tarred and feathered, and then you see like, oh yeah, it was hot tar being poured on someone's
body. Actually, right, having that all over you.
Yeah, because in all the textbooks, they explain it. Mm-hmm. But actually seeing it is completely different.
Yeah, I thought it was like some type of like little rascals, like, funny molasses.
Not really.
No, clearly not. But let's go ahead and just jump right into, since we're talking about Murtaugh, Jamie, and Hamilton Knox. And so Jamie's going on this quest to hunt and kill his childhood mentor and support system. Always good when you get tasked with doing that. How do we feel about the introduction of Hamilton Knox, more of as a full-fledged character, and just some of the things that they went through in terms of Hamilton immediately killing one of Murtaugh's men?
Shocking.
Yeah.
I was really confused. Weren't you a little confused? Because he seemed a little regretful, and then he seemed like he didn't regret it.
I think he was in shock that he reacted that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think he expected to do that. Mm-hmm. But when he spit in his face, I think it just set him off.
Yeah.
He was angry.
He was a little set off before the spitting happened.
A bit.
Because the sword was already drawn.
Yeah, it was a trigger. I think it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
I agree with you.
Essentially.
I agree that it was definitely the spit that made him go over the edge. Mm-hmm. Also, from Knox's perspective as a British officer, they weren't respecting him. And so he needed to do something to set an example.
An example.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they keep saying.
Yeah.
Set the example.
I, you know.
Not that I agree.
He was wrong. Yeah. And if Jamie hadn't lied for him, then I don't know if they would have, but he could have been thrown into the jail cell next to him just because he did.
You think he would have?
Because
I think it would have been like a Trump situation. Like, he could really do whatever he wanted to.
I mean, I think this version of the Redcoats, particularly because they're basically trying to control a situation where their main power is across an ocean. And I think reinforcing a certain level of laws would be a part of trying to maintain the colonies, you know? So they'd be like, well, you did kill somebody without a fair trial.
Right.
And we do need these people who we have, who have sent over here and said that, yeah, you can have all this land or you can do this. And as long as you follow still our rules, we still need them to follow us. So I think at that point, he is just one person, like one redcoat, that he would be, just to show that they're being fair, that they could throw him under the bus for that. Yeah. Or throw him under the wagon.
Whatever. Yeah, and it probably would have just been a slap on the wrist. But still, the fact that he was breaking the law technically by not giving him a trial, if enough people,
spoke up against him.
Yeah, exactly. And there's enough people, there's enough Scots right now who are also helping the British.
Right.
If they pissed off enough of the townspeople by having this officer kill a man without a trial, it could start a revolution.
Yeah, and they're already thinking that they're about to go into war. The last thing you need is a bunch of people to be like, well, you know what? I'm going to join this side, so good luck. Because there's more Scotsmen, I think, currently in that town than there are, you know, Brits.
Agreed. I think, they're trying to maintain order, but at the same time, you know, you have people who are just waiting. And I think there are people that actually want war.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was a catalyst to move them closer to a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's what a lot of people don't realize, too, with the revolution is that there were a lot of people who, even, you know, even if they did not agree with the taxes, they also did not want war.
Yeah.
And so right now, like, I that's what I appreciated about this episode and what I've appreciated about seeing America before the revolution is that they are showing people who are on both sides for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense that you'd have people who would not want to be with the regulators.
Yeah. And even you see Jamie's reasoning where it's like it's just a little too extreme for his taste, you know. It's one thing to want to fight against taxes and being overtaxed and knowing that there is a bias being built into that tax. Sorry. And then it's a whole other thing to be like, yeah, let's tar and feather people. You know, I don't think Jamie's on board with that. And I think he was very shocked to see that Ethan, was that right? Yeah, Ethan and the other gentleman whose name I cannot remember, Murtaugh's men, were so on board with
Brian,
the level of violence that they were inflicting upon the town or the townspeople who were not a part of what they considered to be the fair townspeople, so the rich or the people who supported the British.
What I didn't like is that so just seeing it open like that with Murtaugh tarring and feathering people. Mm-hmm. It almost makes you sympathize with the townspeople and, you know, against him. But what I think is that there was something else that probably happened first, because I don't see Murtaugh actively doing that unless there was a really good reason. We do know that he's more extreme than Jamie, though, but still, I don't think he would have done this without being triggered.
Well, I think it's the taxes, though, because, like, that's all he was saying as he was doing it, right? It's just the taxes, the unfair taxes and the burden it's causing on the people.
Exactly. People are living in poverty, and I think they're coming to a place where they can't live this way any longer. And there has to be a line drawn in the sand at some point. And I think that's what we're moving towards.
Yeah. I think he's just saying, you know, he's taking it to a level of extremeness because he wants people to really hear him. But at the same time, is that necessary? And that's a question that can be raised, and it's a fair question to ask. Like, do they want to start war? Because it seems like there are people who are part of Murtaugh's team who do want to start war and people who don't.
Yeah, I see more who do on Murtaugh's end.
Mm. Well, the guy who is also a leader who was standing behind Murtaugh after Brian and the other gentleman whose name I definitely didn't get. Go ahead.
Mr. Hunter and Mr. Howard, I believe.
There we go. I was like, oh, they said them. I got to get going. And so that gentleman definitely did not want war. I'm not sure if Murtaugh wants war or not. I never got the sense that he was bloodthirsty like McDougal. Is that right?
Yeah.
McDougal was very bloodthirsty, and you could see what that he was always going to be divided with Jamie, and they were eventually going to come like head to head. So for them to do that to Murtaugh seems out of character, because he was always a little bit more level-headed in terms of his style of fighting. Mm-hmm. So if he goes that route, that would be surprising. But at the same time, you know, he was kind of just reintroduced back into the show, and maybe he was reintroduced to serve that point, which would suck.
But. And the other thing, too, I definitely agree with you, but mm-hmm. I also think that from the moments when we saw him in season one mm-hmm. to when he was reintroduced, mm-hmm. we've seen a Murtaugh that is more ruthless in a way. Like, I don't know if I want to just casually drop that word, but the kind of
radical.
The kind of person who probably would get involved in a fight and probably would start a fight in order to protect liberty.
Yeah.
Old Murtaugh.
Old Murtaugh.
Not young Murtaugh.
Yeah. You know, hey. See who I am in 20 years, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Probably the same. I'm not that different from 12. sorry. I had a cold. Still recovering from it.
Same here.
Not contagious. Just, I sound disgusting. All right. Well, do we have any final thoughts? Oh, well, nope. That's for something else. Never mind. Do we have any final thoughts on Jamie and Murtaugh and Hamilton Knox? Nope. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to Claire, Bree, and Roger. Holding down the fort.
Poor Roger.
You know.
He's homesick.
And
I get it.
Jeremiah Bullfrog.
Yeah.
He's got a great singing voice, he does. By the way. Richard Rankin.
Yeah.
I love that
I
piece.
I was like, where is his accent? Like, he's singing like a straight American. Wow.
A thing. That's like a whole thing where it was encouraged at a time to sing with an American accent. Like, that's why the Beatles, like, for a while, sang with an American accent. And Spice Girls sing with an American accent.
I was like, okay, so this is the most I've been able to understand Roger. Because Roger, his accent is worse than Jamie's. It's just like,
oh.
What did he say?
See.
It's so thick.
I actually, maybe this is just me, but I actually understand Roger better than I understand Jamie.
Really?
I also relate to Roger in this moment when he's thinking, I mean, I can just feel, I would not want to be, as much as I like to study this time period, I wouldn't actually want to live there. And I understand that Roger's in a place where he's an intellectual, like he works for a university. This is not going to be his forte, being able to shoot, you know, birds and
I agree.
Bring home dinner.
Yes, his heart isn't in it.
Yeah.
He's yearning to be back, you know, in another time.
I mean, listen, you couldn't pay me to go back to the 90s, okay? Like,
why not? I love the 90s.
No cell phone.
Oh
no
my
laptop.
God, you're one of those.
I'm not even one of those. I've lived with the cell phone, I've lived without a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sit there struggling to be like, what? Where
is she
where
at?
Is this? How do I get here? Let me check my I'll check my answering machine when I get home. I don't want to deal with that again.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But no, look how connected we were back then and how disconnected we... Okay, that's a whole other topic.
That's a whole other topic. I'm from the 70s, so we can't go there because that'll be another half hour. Okay. So, sorry about pay phones.
I interrupted you, Lee. Go ahead. What were you saying? I think I interrupted
you. I was just saying that Roger is very homesick, and he loves his family. He loves being with his family, but he misses, you know, the other time in his life. And anytime, you know, he's conflicted, he doesn't know quite what to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. And he's struggling with whether or not he wants to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can feel that.
He's completely out of his element. He doesn't fit in at any capacity.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that he and Jamie, despite the fact that they do seem like they kind of are developing a better relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's still this, like, I don't even want to say prejudice because that's not what it is, but just who Roger is. Mm-hmm. Jamie, you know, obviously is taking qualms with that. And when we get to page to screen, I'll talk a little bit more about it because a lot of it has to do with Roger being a Presbyterian and not a Catholic. Yeah. But even beyond that, it's just I feel like maybe Roger feels like he won't be able to live up to the man he's supposed to be in the 1770s.
I agree. He's not assimilating well.
No, I mean, he's an intellectual. And that's, I think sometimes, you know, we forget that, oh, what a pleasure and what a privilege it is to just get to be an intellectual because you're not having to, you know, hunt down all your food and you're not having to make all of your clothes and build your house. And that's so foreign to even Roger's time that it's just like, I have to do what? Mm-hmm. I can sing and I can wax on philosophically about, you know, history.
Yeah, because even access. Like,
what else should I do?
It's not like he can sit there and read on his Kindle. Yeah. Not that he had one in the 1970s.
He can't just pick up a book and read, you know. Yeah. He can't just chill. And with that said, Claire's having the opposite, where it's just like, she is so advanced. And there's so many things that she could be offering, but she cannot, because she can't reveal that about herself.
She can't expose. First off, right?
She's 157 years too early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm amazed. This is just now becoming a problem for her. I'm like, girl, like, this should have been a problem from day one.
Right.
Like, it has been technically, because she was a witch for what, season one, season two, season three. Yeah.
Marshley still thinks she might be.
Yeah. I mean, if I went back there and I was like, so you guys, I'm gonna have this thing. It's called a computer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really big, and then I'll shrink it down, put it in my pocket. People would be like, witch, you're black, what are you doing here? Why do you speak like this? You're definitely a witch. And they would, you know, kill me.
The thing I wouldn't be able to deal with is when she's sitting with the other women, mm-hmm. and they don't want to listen to her because she's a female.
Because she's a woman.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh no, I'm out of this. Like,
yes.
Yeah, like that
and
would.
She wants to help.
Yeah.
And she can't reveal everything that she knows because, as you said, it would be dangerous
for
her.
Even when she does say things she knows, they don't want to hear it.
They don't respect what she says. They don't believe what because you're a woman. How could you possibly know?
I mean,
I think Claire's a ball buster, though. Like, I don't see her as being, like, meek and, like, timid and scared to say anything other than how brilliant she really is and how much she knows ahead of time. But I think she's, you know, gotten her points across season after season.
Yeah. She's not run into a problem. So much so that she hasn't been able to survive. But, mm-hmm. I mean, being burned was a very serious, like, a very real consequence that she was facing back when she was just trying to heal people just by using simple herbalist medicine. And now she's trying to introduce things that, like, people haven't even thought of yet. So that's a whole nother level. Cutting open a body to do an autopsy is still... If it's not illegal, it will soon be made illegal. Because I don't even think the idea to cut open a body has even occurred to the first person
who's going to do it. It just seems like cannibalism to everyone else. Like, what the heck? It's so inhumane to do something like that.
Desecration of a body.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's like a body is an animal. You know, humans are animals. But, you know, yeah. It does, it's dangerous what she's toying with now. This... sending in or bringing in her advanced medicine.
Yeah, especially in that time period, religion played such a vital role.
Yeah.
And so this would probably have been seen as hedonism.
Oh, yeah.
And it just like anything, like just because she's in America does not make her safe.
No. definitely not.
No, definitely
we've
not.
We've learned nothing.
Yeah. And even, you know, even being out in the wilderness, I feel like enough people could like latch on, you figure out what she's doing and...
Yeah.
Come in and, you know, try and get her killed.
Yeah. And it, you know, even the passing out the flyers and putting it under a man's name, that's nice and all. But if you show people something that's too advanced before they're ready, even today in current science, there have been moments where, federally run businesses or corporations have straight up denied advances in medicine because it's just like, it's too soon. Like, oh, we don't believe you. That sounds too crazy. And we do that now in current day. So when people are still like giving out mercury to cure a stomach ache, and you're like, let me make all this bread and make some penicillin. Like, no. But let's go ahead into Brianna.
She's still not your favorite.
She's still not my favorite, but she's doing much better. Her accent's gotten a lot better. I don't hear the Irish lilt as much as I used to, or English or whatever, her non-American accent. So she's still hiding the fact that she knows that Stephen Bonnet is alive.
Yes, and but not hiding very well.
and drawing
her art is showing
pictures. Yeah. And so, and I assume this is like some form of PTSD, and I'm like, oh, are we at? I was like, I guess 1969 isn't PTSD informed yet.
No. And my thing is that I'm concerned because, you know, 1969, we don't know how Roger's going to react to this. Mm-hmm. Today, someone, a spouse who comes across something like this, mm-hmm. I mean, it might be a conversation you can have.
Yeah.
That someone will understand. But back in 69, I don't even think, I think this is, you know, we were talking about things that are mm-hmm. too advanced, and I think this will just be beyond Roger's understanding.
Yeah, I didn't quite know how to read his reaction to the drawings. I assumed he was hurt by it.
Deeply disturbed.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And what is this? Not really. Yeah, like, he doesn't know which way to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I felt like, well, maybe that's also me being in 2020. Like, oh, well. PTSD. Like,
I feel like he was hurt because he put his hand over his mouth mm-hmm. and, like, of course he's trying to play it off
yeah.
as though he was so moved by the baby walking, mm-hmm. but I really felt like that was his internal relief,
yeah.
like, to actually show emotion to what he just saw.
Yeah. It seems like he doesn't, maybe seeing those drawings was a reminder that Jeremiah is most likely not his son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he knows it's not his son.
Well,
yeah, so, I mean, 100%, but, you know, like, it's definitely 100% not his son. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But I think it was just a reminder that even if, like, regardless, like I think he's accepted the fact that Jeremy is not his child, mm-hmm. but biologically speaking.
Yeah.
But regardless of this, I think that Roger has accepted Jemmy into his life as his son.
Yeah.
But I think that seeing these pictures and seeing not even the fact that she had drawn him, but how dark these pictures were, mm-hmm. I think it just reminded him that there is a ghost in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that ghost
She's not being completely forward with him and transparent.
Well, yeah, and that the ghost that is always going to plague them is Stephen Bonnet.
Yeah.
Before we roll into our next topic, I mm-hmm. just wanted to address our audience. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please jump into the conversation. If you're looking at us on YouTube, subscribe, give us a thumbs up. We love to hear from you. We'll shout you here, right here on air, guys. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. Jump into the comments as well on there. And tell your friends, because if you're watching a show, we cover it right here at AfterBuzz TV. And thank you for allowing us to be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes. Whoop. It's like a bell now. Upgrades. Yes, thank you so much. As always, please, you know, reach out to us and all that kind of jazz. So let's get to the very last thing. The very last topic.
I can tell you're excited.
I'm so excited. Because I was like, Fight Club reference with women. This is different.
That was interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, is this progressive? I don't know how to feel about this. Like,
what was
interesting.
That?
I was insulted.
I kind of didn't know how to feel about it.
Was that a thing back then? Or is that just
historically accurate?
Putting it in for two
women to be brawling?
Is it historically accurate?
But then they were like, oh, they're brawling over two men or a man. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Nah, that was kind of like a dog fight.
Yeah. It definitely
had dog fight vibes.
Reminded me of that scene from, like, the Sherlock Holmes movie. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't think women did that, but maybe they did do.
Yeah, they did. Well, they had bets. So
women's boxing.
That's like a thing. Like, it was a thing.
It is a thing. She's
Did you look it up?
I did look it up. Share. Women's boxing from the early 1700s. It started in England. Yeah.
There you go.
And, yeah, they ended, well, I mean, this is much later, but 1904, apparently they were in the Olympics. But
Hattie Leslie and Alice Leary.
News you can use.
Yeah. And see, this is why we like living in the, you know, 21st century.
I'll go some fisticuffs. No, I won't. I don't want to fight anyone. That's never fun. Oh, my God. You ever been punched? Oh, my gosh. Not fun. I don't know how you guys do it. But let's get to the reintroduction of... The guy who plays The Hobbit. No, I'm joking. Point Break. a.k.a. Stephen Bonnet. Stephen Bonnet has returned with his out-of-style acting.
what does that mean?
He's too modern. Like, the way he acts always comes off as too modern to me, which is why I call him Point Break.
Okay, got you.
and he's back.
He has reformed, though, for his child.
Yes. He was actually a tad more proper. I was like,
he didn't
okay.
kill the person.
He didn't take his hair and, like, wave it in a way that I was like, what century is this? Like, is he a time traveler? And so...
Ooh, that'd be a nice twist.
It'd be a sad twist. It'd be like, whoa, did you just come all the way back in time?
just to mess people up. Like, just to rape, kill, and destroy.
Yeah. Because you knew, like, it would be, like, there would be less repercussions for your behavior. Like, what the?
Wouldn't put it past him.
Yes. But we do have an actual actor. I can't remember his name, his real name, but he was in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, who plays the gentleman that Stephen Bonnet might work for.
Oh, Forbes.
Yeah, Forbes, yeah. I guess he was here last season, too, if I'm right. Was he?
Not that, I mean, season? I don't remember, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say yes or no.
He might have been, but yes, it was a little fun, like, tidbit for all you Lord
Jump
of the Rings
into the comments if you guys know. Let us know.
Yes, please. Sorry. Neil Forbes, who's played by whoever. So Stephen Bonnet's back. And he is... I'm seeing if we can pull up that name, but I can't find it. He's calling himself a father.
What?
Calling himself a father.
Did anyone
so
else
how do we feel about that?
Awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I caught that.
Yeah, it was the very end.
Which part was it?
After it was Marsden, the guy that he slit his eyes instead of killing him.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Turnbill who said, why didn't you just kill him?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm kind of reformed. After all, I'm a dad now.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. Or I have a child or something. Yeah, okay. Something along those lines.
I think I was, okay, so when that part happened, I turned my whole head and my face like
Oh, because he was cutting the eyes.
So I was not in tune in that moment, so that's why I didn't catch it. I was like, how did I miss that?
Neil Forbes, by the way, was in last season.
Okay, that's what I thought. Oh, because he was he's one of the people who was trying to court Brianna.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so I wasn't sure what they were going to do with Stephen until he slit that guy's eyes. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're still playing by the same rules, which is a relief, I guess.
I thought, I mean, I guess I should have known better, but I thought he was just going to kill him and that it was going to be... Because remember, Marsden was like, oh, yeah, like, just, I yield. And I thought he was just going to kill him and that we were going to see, nope, still the same Stephen Bonnet, but the eye thing, I actually thought that was worse.
I thought that was worse. Yeah, ten times worse.
It's torture.
Yeah.
Basically... You will just remember me for the rest of your miserable life.
Because you will never see anything ever again. If you survive the infection.
So you can never accuse me of anything. Because you can't see.
Yeah.
Because you can't see, and this is probably an illegal fight. So who are you going to tell? I would have been happy to go one season. We went like 2-3 seasons without Murtaugh. Okay? Like... And I like Murtaugh. Okay? So now we have to spend a whole other season with Point Break again? Oh, God. Oh, I hate him.
I guess what he's do a you good think actor. About Claire not wanting Bree and the family to stay there? Like, how did you feel when she said that?
I thought that sounded about right.
Yeah.
Because if I were a mom during that time and I knew all the advancements, that in the future, I'd be like, go back.
Well, especially with a baby.
Especially with a baby.
I was thinking the same thing. What happens if something occurs where the baby becomes ill?
Yeah.
What would she do?
Yeah, and she even
said. What kinds
said,
of choices would she have to make?
So they don't know if Jamie could time travel. They don't know if the baby could time travel either.
They know that Jamie can't time travel.
Oh, they know that he can't.
Because he can't hear the
drum. Oh, right.
The bees.
Right.
The bees. Yeah. He can't hear the
whatever
sound they're
that
supposed
buzzing
to hear.
Is, yes.
They don't know if Jeremiah can hear it or not. So if Jeremiah can't hear it, then they can't go with him.
Which will be a test later,
yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, and that's so what they're saying.
Oh, why don't they just try to walk in with them? What, the baby's going to fall down on the tree?
Probably.
But then the problem is, then if they go through, the baby's still there, and then... that's that. And then, I mean, I guess they could go right back through if he doesn't come with them.
Yeah, right?
But even, I would imagine, because it hasn't been like a thing where they jump through, then jump back immediately to see if they're still there at the same time.
Exactly.
I would assume it would be that way. But at least it's because that's how it seems like when Claire came back 20 years later. It was 20 years later for Jamie, but we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. It could be wrong. So, I definitely agree with Claire and even with Roger. I think it would be wise for them to go back because, you know, the mortality rate for an infant
was pretty high. Time,
so high.
That most of what we've cleared up in terms of mortality rates for humanity has been infant mortality.
Right.
So there's a very strong chance that something could happen to their baby. And, you know, Claire was fortunate that in a weird way she had to go back right as she was pregnant with, with Brianna. Yeah. So any final thoughts before we go into news and gossip? Point Break.
Point Break.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go ahead into, do we have news and gossip today?
I couldn't find any news and gossip.
All right. No worries. I do know, just quick fun fact, that Katrina Bayoff? Katrina? How did she say her name?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Did get married last year, so to a Scottish musician. Just fun fact. I don't know.
That's kind of
throw
cool.
that out there. Okay, and anything else?
Yeah, I mean, this happened a couple weeks ago, but I did go to the Outlander season 5 premiere.
Hey.
And we talked about it last time, but just in case you missed the last show, Richard Rankin, when I interviewed him, said that there were parts from season five. They were taking from book 6 and book 5. So if anyone is wondering about things happening, you might want to go and read book 6 as well.
All right. Yeah. Check out those books. They're thick.
Oh, but man. Look at that.
This is 5.
I mean, you know, Audible is also your friend. Okay. Then let's go ahead into the special segment, Page to Screen.
Yeah. So, I have read up through book 4. I am now reading book 5 along with the season so that if anything major does change, I don't spoil it for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I just want to say book 5 is very different from the television show in that chapter 1, they haven't even had the wedding yet. They're just preparing for it. Archie Hayes shows up very early on in the book. Instead of Tryon, we see more of Hayes. Mm-hmm. And so Hayes is the one saying, hey, I'm looking for Jamie. Mm-hmm. He does this even before the wedding. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the wedding, it was a letter that Jamie received from Tryon asking him to build a militia.
Oh, okay.
So different the way they explain that. Also, Marsley does not apprentice for Claire in the books the way that Claire's having her do now, which I actually love this change, but does not happen in the books. And I mentioned this earlier, but Stephen Bonnet, at the end of book 4, actually, maybe I didn't mention this on the show, but before when we were talking, at the end of book 4, Bonnet actually asked Brianna to leave with him. We had mentioned this last time in the Page to Screen segment, where basically Bonnet actually ends up kind of helping Brianna a little bit, and they escape the jail and right before it blows. And then he asks her to leave with him. And obviously she said no, but just very different.
Tried to do a little romance novel spin.
but not, like, there's just no redeeming that man, though. So there's no...
Right.
Yeah, not with a rape.
They tried it.
Yeah,
they tried it.
Yeah. But the last thing I wanted to say is that I kind of mentioned this before, but there's this huge... religion plays a very big part, even within chapter 1 of this book. In that they stress that one of the things that Lord Tryon is keeping is the fact that Jamie is a Catholic, because apparently if you're a Catholic, you had to be Protestant to own land.
Mm.
And so that was a big thing, and one of the things that Tryon is holding over Jamie's head.
Mm.
Some people know that he's Catholic, but it isn't really a public thing. And they also, when Brianna was married in episode 1 in the book, it was multiple weddings happening, not just hers, because a priest actually had to come from Baltimore. So yeah, a little bit from episode 1 and 2 there. Yeah,
cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. Who wants to start?
Why don't you start?
Well, let's see. So Point Break's back. And he'll probably show his scummy little face with his modern movements and talking very soon to Brianna to claim his child.
Oh, yeah.
I think if that's the case, in order to protect Jeremiah, Roger might leave with the baby through the stones.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that could be a possibility. Ooh.
If the baby can travel.
If the baby can travel, and that maybe Brianna will stay.
We'll see.
And then Brianna might stay just to get her vengeance because she maybe feels she's owed that. Mm. That's my prediction.
She knows how to shoot a gun.
She does know how to shoot a gun.
Sharpshooter.
She's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's just go down the line.
So all right. Okay. So I think that, I mean, we have the hints already from Murtaugh that Jamie is going to join their side. Mm-hmm. So my thought is that it's going to take Jamie longer than what Murtaugh realizes to actually cross over. I think it will happen. But I think that what Jamie's seeing is, like, from his perspective right now, the regulators have actually, I mean, seeing someone tarred and feathered, that's pretty
gruesome.
Yeah. So I feel like it's going to take Jamie a while to actually cross over to their side. And I also think that for next episode, we're going to see him come back to Claire and we're going to see him have some time with her to kind of discuss everything that had happened.
I think Claire is going to have to push the card because I think someone in their family, someone close to them, is going to become ill and she's going to be forced to make a choice about how to help them create some type of cure, which may expose her, but I think she's going to have to make a choice.
I think a lot of choices are going to be made. I think, like you said, I think Bonnet's headed right for his son, and there's going to be a war in that respect, and I think Jamie's not going to be there for it. So it's going to have the women step up in some type of way against Bonnet. I think that'll be nice and juicy. And also, I do feel like the choices, the radical choices that Bonnet, that Murtaugh is making, it's breaking down the integrity of the relationship between him and Jamie. So I really do feel like he's kind of sabotaging whatever allegiance Jamie may have by being too radical and not being fair. So, because if I know anything about Jamie, he's fair. And so even, like, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And I think that it's going to have a bad turn for that kinship.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this episode of the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. What just happened in my ear?
They're excited.
Sorry. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. You can also catch me on the Doctor Who After Show on AfterBuzz, as well as the Magicians After Show.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter, at Rach Goodman, or on my author Instagram account, at Rachel Radner Author. You can also find me on the Doctor Who, Stumptown, Narcos, Mexico Season 2, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Retro Anatomy of a Movie After Shows.
And I'm Lee Broadway. You can find me at 50plusandfabulous.com.
Go get it, girl.
On Twitter, and I'm also on Instagram at 50_fabulous_. Cool.
Hey guys, you can find me at AngelTaylor_ on all social media platforms, and I will be doing all my blog in March.
Hey, all right. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, I will be out of the country, finally. next week, I will be in Scotland, hopefully having a Scotsman. So, all right, guys. And see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.